So next up, we have something that is quite interesting. Last year, we did it the first time, which was a talk show in which we invite a few of our esteemed scholars, and then they come, and then we ask them questions in quite a quick manner to try to get as much information in as short of time as possible. This year, again, we are honored to invite esteemed scholars who are going to be talking about the Islamic Revolution, the Islamic Republic, Bistodo Bahman, and of course the martyrdoms of Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and their companions. So we are going to go ahead, and we have three scholars on the panel today. So we are going to humbly invite Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And second up, we have a Sheikh Ali Qummi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah. And third, but not least, we have Sayyid Amir Bahbahani from Canada. We invite him as well with another salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah. Okay, mashallah. So now that we have all three of our esteemed scholars up on the stage, before we begin, we send upon all of the shuhada and all of our scholars from the past a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So I'm sure that you are all well aware about this concept, which is known in Farsi as Sudur-e-Inqilab. So Sudur-e-Inqilab translates into the English as the exportation or the sending out of the revolution. It was a concept, of course, which was spoken about by Imam Khomeini. So our first question here, I'm going to address to Sayyid Hashimi. Here we have heard about the exportation of the Islamic Revolution. If you could speak a little bit about perhaps the necessity of exporting the values and the principles and the fundamentals of the Islamic Revolution? And for that matter, is it even necessary to export the revolution? And if so, why would it be necessary? Bismillah, in the name of Allah.
Thank you very much. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. About the exportation of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini on different occasions talked about the, as you said, Sudur-e-Inqilab, exporting the revolution. And you know what is interesting in the sayings of Imam Khomeini? He never talks about the Sudur-e-Inqilab in a militarily way. He always says that we have to set an example here in Iran after the Islamic Revolution. And if we do so, people of the world, not just Muslim people, even the non-Muslim countries, they will be attracted and they will start asking questions. What is going on here? And what is this concept of Sudur-e-Inqilab relevant? You know, Islamic Revolution, since the beginning, it wasn't a just national movement, or a racial movement, or even just a religious movement confined to a particular religion. Imam Khomeini, on many occasions, he says that we are here to free all the people who seek freedom and justice in the world. And this is why I think, even until today, you know, how US and the Western powers confront their enemies. They confront China in technology, in military, in other ways. They confront Russia on the field. But this confrontation that they have against Islamic Revolution is and was always very severe. in military aspect, in economic aspect, and in cultural aspect. Because I think, according to Imam Khomeini, the only threat that was posed to the Western civilization in today's life and in the modern age, it is another voice, the third voice, not the voice of liberalism or capitalism or communism. A third voice that says that I can build a worldly life for the people on this planet based on the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the divine values. And this is that cannot be tolerated by the Western powers, because all these years and these centuries, they try to tell people that the only way, that the only solution for the mankind on this planet is to somehow divide between this worldly life, material life, and all the immaterial, theological, religious values. And they were successful. They did this against Christians, they did this against Muslims. But Imam Khomeini was the only man after maybe 400 years who stood against them and said, no, this is the way that you are leading people is doomed to fail. And the failure is the end of the Western civilization. And we have a new word. We have a new teaching. And I think even until today, that is the problem. And it was the idea of Imam Khomeini. He, because this revolution was not just based on the race or some kind of nationality, from the beginning, he was talking to the whole world. If you go and read Sahifeh Imam, on different occasions, he tells the tulab, the students, and in that time there was no Jamaatul Mustafa. He tells tulab, go and spread the word of Islamic revolution. The people around all the corners of the world, they are not aware of our word, and all of them are talking against us. So I think the concept of the Sudur Inqilab is so relevant with the Islamic revolution, because it's based on the nature and the fitra of the human being, and all the human beings can share the same values according to the values that Imam Khomeini established Islamic revolution based on those. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair. Sheikh Ali, I would like to kind of see if you have a follow-up on this same type of idea. Of course, Sayyid Hashimi gave us a very beautiful explanation all around about the necessity of the exportation of the revolution. And so, one of the things that Sayyid Hashimi brought up was this idea, what is at stake for the arrogant powers of the world if this concept of the Islamic revolution of justice and truth spreads across the world. If you'd like to go ahead and add to that.
Sure. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. As Sayyid Hashimi has pointed out here in the beginning of his talk, Sudura Inqilab, or exportation of the revolution, it has been misinterpreted by many out there. It has been put forth as if Iran wants to take over the world. Iran wants to go ahead and control the countries. This is the wrong interpretation of this Sudura Inqilab, or exportation of the revolution. When we look at Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, and Imam Khamenei, Hafadahullah, they are very clear that when we talk about exportation of the Islamic revolution, it is in fact exportation of Islam itself. Exportation of pure Muhammadan Islam, because Islam is housed in Iran today. This is the center of Islam. It is the markaz of Islam. So exportation of revolution is exporting the principles of revolution, the spirit of revolution, the ideals of revolution. This is what we're dealing with. And hence, this exportation of revolution becomes a responsibility of every single devout Muslim. And allow me to say, even Sunni Muslims, it doesn't have to be confined to Shias. It is the exportation of the Islamic principles, the Quranic principles, the principles of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this, you know, to add to what Sayyid said, and very eloquently said, it poses a danger and a threat to the Western civilization, Because the principles that they have been trying to teach the world are completely contrary to what Islam teaches in many cases. So naturally, when we are going to preach those divine principles of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, they're going to feel threatened. This is where it is the war of narratives today. The narrative, the principles, the ideology. So this, you know, to answer to what Sayyid has asked me to elaborate on, Sudur-e Inqilab means exporting the ideology of the fight of mustazafin, the oppressors, the weak ones, against the oppressors, the tyrants. This is what exporting Islamic revolution is.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Sheikh Ali. So now I'm sure that you have all heard about something known as Yawmullah. And so in Farsi it is known as Yawmullah, but in English we translate it as the days of Allah. Now, talking about this Yawmullah, of course, we have heard Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei speak about these days of Allah, and he has said how there are multiple of these days of Allah, and that we are also witnessing ourselves these days of Allah. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Sayyid Bahbahani here, can you please explain to us a little bit about what the days of Allah are, the Yawmullah, and if you could give us some examples, and why are those certain days considered to be so important that they are known as the days of Allah in the name of Allah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum jamiyan wa rahmatullah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Wa zakkirhum bi ayyamillah inna fi dhalika layatin likulli sabarin shakur. So ayyamillah, it's been interpreted into different interpretation from Ayman Athar alayhim assalam, which some of them, they call themselves, we are Ayyamullah. Or some of them, they say every day is Ayyamullah. And some of them, they come and they generalize the meaning of Ayyamullah. For example, this narration that we have from our beloved Prophet salawatullah wasalam, he says Ayyamullah are Na'amahu wa bala'uhu, or blessings and calamities. So in one of the book I saw the interpretation of Ayyamullah based on this riwayah from our beloved Prophet is that inna fi dhalika la'ibra liman kana lahu qalb. Ayyamullah is those events that happen that there is a lesson, there is a teaching for those people that their hearts are aware and alive in order to understand those lessons. And generally, if you want to give a more general interpretation of the word Ayyamullah, is those events that the power of Allah manifests itself in it fully, that most of the people that they are true seekers, they could understand the lesson from it, which Ayatollah Khamenei Hafazullah, our leader, he repeated this word 22 times. I was just looking at the news, 22 times in the Salat al-Jum'ah after the martyrdom of Shahid Soleimani and after the attack to Ain al-Asad. That these 2 days, first the funeral of Shahid Soleimani was a part of Ayyamullah, and also the attack to Ain al-Asad was Ayyamullah. These 2 days, these two events were so important and clear that the power of Allah is manifested so clearly that there is so there's a clear sign for those qalb, those hearts that are there in order to basically learn a lesson from.
Jazakallah, thank you, Sayyid Bahbahani. Sayyid Hashimi, I'd like to kind of continue a little bit with this Yawmullah, right? Sayyid Bahbahani, he brought up the idea, of course, the funeral ceremony of Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani and Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and their companions was considered to be one of the days of Allah. He brought another one of the days of Allah, which was, of course, this attacking of the United States military base of Ain al-Asad. I don't know if you'd like to, well, one, if you'd like to give a few more examples of Yawm Allah, but also why would the attacking of a military base in Iraq by the Islamic Republic be considered a day of Allah, in the name of Allah, please?
Thank you. Beautifully said, Sayyid Behbahani, about Yawm Allah.
Thank you.
You know, in Islamic Revolution, one of our primary pillars is that we believe in the divine infiltration. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something to do with this world. And this is why Imam Khomeini, Sayyid Behbahani, said about the sayings of Imam Khamenei. And before that, Imam Khomeini, on different occasions, he talks about the Yawm Allah. He says the 17th of Shahrivad is Yawm Allah. The 15th of Khordad is Yawm Allah, the beginning of the movement of the Iranian people. 22nd of Bahman is Yawm Allah. And you know what is interesting here? Brothers and sisters, you may know that the day before the victory of Islamic Revolution in 1979, the regime of Shah, they announced a curfew in Tehran and other cities of Iran. And they told people that anyone who comes out of the houses, they will be shot, killed, executed. On that day, many of the scholars, ulama, they called Imam Khomeini and told him, please, please, tell people not to go out, stay at home. Imam Khomeini said, no, we have to break this curfew. This is the final, you know, circle of the chain of the Shah. And Imam Khomeini did so, and after that, and after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, he said that this was Yawm Allah. Why? Because every material mathematic, you know, how do you want to calculate your action is, you know, good or bad, valid or invalid? Normal people, they look at the material equations. But Imam Khomeini on that day, he believed that we are supported by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that day, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps people to be victorious, the group of people, the society of Muslimin, Imam Khomeini calls that day Yawm Allah. Yawm Allah. He says the day that Rasulullah conquered Mecca was Yawm Allah. Why? Because Rasulullah was an orphan, was a poor child in the streets of Mecca. No one even thought about Rasulullah as the king or as the ruler of the Arabia. But on that day, when he came into the Mecca peacefully without any resistance, Imam Khomeini says that that day, inna fatahna laka fathan mubina, was the Yawm Allah. And so, why attacking Ain al-Asad was Yawm Allah? Because since the Second World War, no one, no country on the planet had ever the courage of attacking officially attacking US troops all over the world. You know that. Not just in Middle East. Yes, there were some people, you know, hidden or stealthily. But this time, Islamic Revolution, Islamic Republic said, you did this and this is the consummation and you have to pay the price for that. And we officially say that we did this against you, and if you do that again, we will do something worse to you. This is Yawm Allah. This is the day of Allah. That no one, you know, according to that calculation, material calculation, think that something would happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps, and the divine infiltration, the divine tawfiq helps the mu'mineen to be victorious. And Imam Khomeini believes that many days throughout the history of Islamic Revolution was like that. And inshallah, in the because maybe brothers and sisters are somehow worried about the Islamic Revolution after all this, you know, incidents 3-4 months ago, since three, four months ago. But I want to tell you that be very calm. We have to be active. But when you see that all the evil forces, US, UK, LGBT advocates, all those people are against you, and you still survive and stay stronger, then in this time, you have to believe that They have everyone, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side.
So,
be brave, and inshallah, we will see the fruitful end of this Islamic revolution with the reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah.
Ahsan.
Jazakallah khair for the reappearance of the Imam of our time, and for us to be of his first supporters, his sincere supporters. Let's send a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajhum. So Sayyid Hashmi, he spoke very eloquently about how we shouldn't be scared, we shouldn't be worried despite these unrest that were seen in certain areas of the Islamic Republic. He gave us the confidence and let us know that the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic is very strong. So along these lines, I'm going to go ahead and ask the next question, give the lead to Sheikh Ali, and I want to kind of stay on this very concept, this idea that is the Islamic Revolution still strong? Is it still powerful? And for that matter, is it still effective on the global stage? And I'd like you to take two aspects to it. Is this power and strength merely military strength and military power? And the other one is, what role does Jihad-e-Tabi'een have in this strength of the Islamic Republic of Iran? In the name of Allah, Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is a loaded question, and I don't think I have that much time to speak. But honestly, if you look at the ideology of the Islamic Revolution and the founding principles of the Islamic Republic, one can easily come to a conclusion, a very stable conclusion, that this ideology, this thought process is very strong. It's not just strong, it's very strong. When we come to the manifestation of this ideology in the external world and we look at what the Islamic Republic of Iran has accomplished so far, we can clearly see that if you compare the post-Islamic Revolution Iran with the pre-Islamic Revolution Iran, there's a huge gap and a huge difference. The amount of development, the amount of progress, scientific progress, you know, this is answering your question, is it just the military might or not? The scientific progress in this country, if you just look at the nanotechnology, for instance, you look at stem cells technology, for instance, you look at the medical accomplishments that Islamic Republic of Iran has achieved after the Islamic Revolution, it is very evident that the system itself, the Islamic system itself, is very strong. Now, how do you reconcile it with these ikhtishashat and these, you know, small little protests that sometimes we see and we start basing our analysis on these protests? Brothers and sisters, don't be trapped by the media propaganda of the Western media machinery. It's a propaganda machinery. That's why the leader keeps calling it to be the soft war, because they're playing, they're trying to, albatte, trying to play with our minds. They're trying to show us that, oh, so many people are against the Islamic Revolution, as if there are a few handful of people who are forcefully and forcibly ruling the country. This is false. Now, we can easily see it because we are living here, but people living outside in other countries, outside of Iran, it's not that clear for them because of the media propaganda. So this is where it ties into the concept of Jihad-e-Tabi'een that the leader keeps talking about. Jihad-e-Tabi'een, jihad of clarification, jihad of explanation, and we, being the talabe of the Islamic seminary, it is more wajib upon us than it may be on those who are not the students. We have to explain to the world. It's our responsibility. Don't just wait and sit and, you know, just wait for it to automatically get transferred over to the rest of the world. No, it has to be done through us. We have to explain the realities and the facts on the ground. We have to defend the Islamic Republic. We have to defend the Islamic Revolution. We have to give transparency to the outside world when it comes to the propaganda against Iran. And this is what Jihad-e-Tabyeen is. When you look, the enemies attacking the Islamic Republic of Iran, when you look, the enemies attacking the system of Wilayatul Faqih, you stand up. You stand up to defend this divine system. It's not just military might that Iran has achieved today. According to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, he says that back in the day, we did not even have a barbed wire. No country helped us. The Islamic Republic, Iran, and Iranians, they did it themselves. Today, they're exporting high-end technology. And those of you who keep up with the news, look what Iran has provided to Russia. Look what Iran has provided to some other countries in the region. This is development. This is progress. But the world doesn't know about it. So it's our responsibility to get this across and let the people know that Iran is strong today. Today, according to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Iran has turned into this strong trunk tree. Back in the day, it used to be a sapling. Not anymore. Those days are gone. Those days are gone when, you know, this very Tehran and the cities of Iran would get bombed and Iranians couldn't do anything but just to wash those planes. Those days are gone. Now, if one of the most advanced technology drone of the United States of America, the Great Satan, dares to enter the air territory of the Islamic Republic, it gets shot down. The Islamic Republic is strong today. But who is to convey this to the world? It is, inshallah, us, the followers of Wilaya. Sorry, it was a little too long.
Jazakallah khair. No, thank you. I was keeping track of time. So, Sayyid Bahbani, I want to kind of stay here with this idea of Jihad-e-Tabyeen. So, of course, Sheikh Ali Qummi spoke a little bit about Jihad-e-Tabyeen and its role. Here, I'd like to ask you, this Jihad-e-Tabyeen that has been highly emphasized by Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is this Jihad-e-Tabyeen something that is relatively recent, first and foremost? And the second thing, is this Jihad-e-Tabyeen just the defense of the Islamic Revolution, or is it just the defense of Islam, or both, in the name of Allah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just, I'm taking permission to speak in Persian so that our ustad also understand a little bit, they are a little bit tired.
If you can speak both at the same time, that would be good.
Bismillah. I'm going to speak in Farsi so that my ustad are tired. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. سوال درباره جهاد تبیین هستش. جهاد تبیین، خب اگه بخوایم در واقع معرفیش کنیم خیلی راحت میتونیم یک شرحی بهش بدیم، اما اگه بخوایم یک جوری معرفیش کنیم که واقعا معنای اصلیشو بفهمیم، ببینیم جهاد تبیین اثرش چیه. اثر جهاد تبیین باید تحرک باشه، باید موومنت باشه، باید یک تحرکی در مخاطب که در مقابل جهاد تبیین قرار میگیره ایجاد بشه. این جهاد تبیین از اول بنی آدم، حضرت آدم شروع شده. پیامبر با قرآن جهاد تبیین کرد، با حرفا و کلام خودشون جهاد تبیین کردن. ائمه با افعال و با درسهایی که میدادن جهاد تبیین کردن، و امام خمینی هم برای انقلاب جهاد تبیین کرد که یک ملت رو به حرکت درآورد. جهاد تبیین رو ما اونجایی میفهمیم که وقتی یک ملت برای خداوند و برای حق به حرکت در میان. معنای جهاد تبیین رو ما میتونیم به سه بخش بکنیم. حالا من خودم این رو امروز به نتیجه رسیدم که بعض وقتا تبیین جایگاه هاست، حق و باطل. بعض وقتا تبیین هدفه، برای امام زمان، برای خدا، برای پیغمبر. بعض وقتا تبیین وسائله. مؤمنین میدونن هدف چیه، میدونن جایگاه حق و باطل چیه، اما چون از وسایل خبر کافی ندارن، انگیزه ندارن جلو برن، انگیزه ندارن بیان تو صحنه و جهاد کنن و در راه خدا حرکتی به عمل بیارن. خب سوره قرآن یکی از نکاتی که به جهاد اشاره میکنه، غیر از جهاد خدمتتون عرض کنم اصغر و اکبر که در روایات ما اومده، یک جهادی به نام جهاد کبیره که آیه سوره فرقان میگه فلا تطع الکافرین و جاهدهم به جهادا کبیرا. یکی از مسائل جهاد عدم تابعیت و گوش دادن به کفاره، زیر حرف زیر بار کفار نرفتنه، و این خودش یک انگیزه ای میطلبه، یه وسائلی لازم داره. یکی از مسائل جهاد تبیین روشن کردن وسائل برای مؤمنینه. من خیلی سریع بگم، یا ایها الذین آمنوا ان تنصروا الله ینصرکم و یثبت اقدامکم. قرآن داره انگیزه سازی میکنه، اگر بیاین جلو ما کمکتون میکنیم و استقامت هم به پاهاتون میبخشیم. کاری که امام خمینی کرد، حالا میخوام سریع به بحثم اتمام بدم، کاری که امام خمینی کرد این بود، همه میگفتن آقا آمریکا، اسرائیل، انگلیس، امام خمینی گفت نه، ما خدا داریم، این یک جهاد تبیینه. کاری که امام خمینی کرد اینه، ذالک به ان الله مولا الذین آمنوا، خدا دارن کسایی که ایمان دارن، و ان الکافرین لا مولا لهم، اونا مولا ندارن، خدا ندارن. پس بحث جهاد تبیین اینه که یک حرکت should in English at the end, right? Making a conclusion. So the conclusion is that the jihad al-tabiyyin must cause a movement to the addressees of this tabiyyin. This is what the jihad means. Means to do clarification in somehow that you create a movement. Bismillah.
Ahsan, Jazakallah khair wa afiya. So this was our first half where we talked about the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic. Of course, we do want to talk just a little bit about Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and their companions, of course, as we commemorate them in our event. So here, my first question here is to Sayyid Bahbahani, actually.
Continue in English now.
Okay, Sayyid Hashmi, I'll ask you. I'm going to mix up the whole program live. So here, one of the things that we have seen Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei talk about, he's talked about Maktab-e-Sulaymani. And so consistently we have heard him emphasize this idea of Maktab-e-Sulaymani, the ideological school of thought of Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani. Another one of the things that he has said in his speeches is that we must keep this Maktab-e-Sulaymani alive. So Sayyid Hashmi, I'm going to go ahead and ask you here, why should we keep Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani alive as a Maktab, in the name of Allah?
Thank you very much. There was a Nigerian brother here who came and recited a very beautiful poetry.
Brother Ali Murtaza.
Yes, Brother Ali Murtaza. For Haj Qasim. His nationality, his race, his language is different from Haj Qasim. Okay? I'm Iranian, but I was sitting here and I felt that he is much more closer than me to the personality of Haj Qasim Soleimani. You know why? Alongside Ayyamullah in Quran, we have Ansarullah. Like what Jesus Christ said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this in Quran, فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرِ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ. When Jesus Christ got disappointed from those people in Palestine, he came forward and asked his companions that who is my companion to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hawariyun, they said that we are Ansarullah. Look, Ansarullah, like the Ayyamullah, cannot be confined to a race or a language or a background, you know, because this is, you know, about the fitra of the human being. And I think Haj Qasim was one of the best representatives of the fitrah. of the fitra. I remember the funeral procession of Hajj Qasim in Qom. You could see every person from different backgrounds, from different cultures, from different even ideologies. They would come there and they would mourn and cry for Hajj Qasim. Why? Because he had something to do with the fitra of the human being. And I think this is what Imam Khamenei noticed in the personality of Hajj Qasim. So he is really based on fitra. This personality of Hajj Qasim really, really based on al-fitra. And in addition to that, Hajj Qasim is the symbol of internationality of Islamic revolution. You see that he worked with different people in different areas, in different nationalities, with different languages, with different denominations. And for all of them, Hajj Qasim was Hajj Qasim as a commander. So Imam Khamenei, I think he insists on the personality of Hajj Qasim because he was beyond an individual. He represents all the beautiful values of the Islamic revolution by Imam Khomeini. He is, I think we have to say that, he is the fruit of the teachings and of the life of Imam Khomeini. His courage, his sincerity, his honesty. And this is why you can say, and we had another brother from United States of America that came here and talked about and recited poetry about Hajj Qasim. Many of people around the world, they can feel some connection with Hajj Qasim. This is why I think in that time, Donald Trump, Pompeo, and those thugs and evil people, they didn't even, I think, they didn't have this speculation that this will happen in Iran. Many of those people, they didn't predict this kind of uprising of people to support this such a personality. So we have to preserve this maktab of Hajj Qasim, because the maktab of Hajj Qasim is the symbol and the sign of the maktab and the school of Imam Khomeini for the youth and for today's people who are leaving now and who could have some, solidarity and feel some similarity with Hajj Qasim. They felt that he defended all their values that they honor and they glorify. So I think we have to keep on glorifying and talking about Hajj Qasim rahmatullahi alayhi. Thank you.
Jazakallah, Sayyid Hashimi. I have two more questions because we're running out of time. So my next question here is going to be to Sayyid Bahbahani. Now, Sayyid Bahbahani, we did hear Sayyid Hashimi talk a little bit about how we should keep the memory of Shahid Hajj Qasim alive, and we should keep this maktab alive, of course, this maktab of Imam Khomeini and this maktab of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. But here I have also heard Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei say that we should not turn this individual or the being of Shahid Hajj Qasim Soleimani into a supernatural being, a mystical being, or a legendary being. If you could just talk just a little bit about that very quickly, this idea of not turning him into a supernatural being, and can other people be like Shahid Hajj Qasim Soleimani and his companions in the name of Allah?
Bismillah. Of course, this is very important to consider that Hajj Qasim is an example for all of us to how someone could reach a certain level of spirituality and an influence that becomes a name or code or symbol for the resistance, not only for resistance of Inqilab Iran or Inqilab Islami, no, resistance of the whole Ummah. This Hajj Qasim, Maktab Hajj Qasim, is the code for the whole Ummah, as for the resistance, for the whole Ummah. And as you can see, like his mother Fatima al-Zahra, his life and also his death is defeating the enemy. And this is why we should not consider this level unreachable, because every soldier of Imam Zaman, every soldier of this Maktab-e-Haq, they must reach a certain level that they become a pin in the neck of the enemy, their life or their death. So one of the thing is that even Haj Qasim itself said in one of the very important speeches about the mosques, he divided the mosque into three different categories. Usually when we go through Quran, we have two categories. We have a mosque that there are the people of taqwa, the people of Allah in there, and we have a mosque of zarar, which they try to create diversities among the Muslim ummah. Haj Qasim added another mosque. Haj Qasim, in his speech, in that his famous speech, he says we have a mosque that also teach and to teach the people to be indifference, to be ignorance about fighting the enemy. And if you look at Quran, when he talks about the masjid of people of taqwa, the masjid of Allah, is those people that at the end he says, "Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minin anfusahum wa amwalahum." So these, the mosque that people needs to go is those mosques, is those hoza, is those teachings that bring them and teach them to be at the level of jihad, at the level of resistance, at the level that they could follow the footstep of Haj Qasim Soleimani's like.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. We have time for just one last question. This question I'm going to pose to Sheikh Ali Qummi. Now, again, talking about Shaheed Haj Qasim Soleimani, we saw that, again, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he has very eloquently hinted at this idea of what was the true responsibility and the true duty, excuse me, of Shaheed Haj Qasim Soleimani. And so here I'd like to ask you if you could speak a little bit about what was the real responsibility of Shaheed Haj Qasim Soleimani, and as most people would guess, was his main responsibility and his main task the defeating of the ISIS-Daesh terrorists, of course, in which he was so very successful, in the name of Allah?
Well, Imam Khamenei, he very clearly explains and states that the real responsibility of Shaheed Soleimani was not to fight ISIS, was not to defeat ISIS, was not to eradicate ISIS. In our words, it was a side job that he did. So the question is, what was his real responsibility then? Imam Khamenei says that his real responsibility was to strengthen resistance in this entire region. The Islamic resistance, the resistance against the tyrants, the resistance against the taghut, the resistance against America, against Europe, against Israel, against UK, against Germany, against France, all of this, these countries which are a conglomeration and they are waging a war against Islam, Shaheed Soleimani's responsibility, primary responsibility, was to create a front that resists the attack of these enemies of Islam. Mashallah. This was his real responsibility. Mashallah. And the enemy had a plan to distract him. And that plan was one of the most expensive projects of the Western global imperialism and Zionism combined. It was called ISIS, Daesh. It was a distraction. It was an obstruction. So Shaheed Soleimani took out and eradicated that obstruction. But his real responsibility, again, was to strengthen resistance in this entire region. And for those who believe in the Maktab of Soleimani, who believe in the Wali of Soleimani, who believe in Khamenei, this should be our responsibility too. For Hoza students, through our ilm, through our knowledge, through information, we have to be able to strengthen the camp of resistance in all times and everywhere throughout the world. So I guess, you know, given the given the time, this answer should suffice.
Jazakallah khair wa afiyah. Thank you. That brings to conclusion our talk show that we had. So much information, mashallah, in such a short amount of time. We want to thank all three of our dear esteemed scholars who had taken time out of their busy schedules to join us. So, of course, we had Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran, Sheikh Ali Qummi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, and, of course, Sayyid Amir Bahbahani from Canada, in order to increase their tawfiqat and the protection of them, their families, and their loved ones as they come down from the... We send them a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.